started singing all the way around. That's just good. I don't care where you're from. That's just a blessing from on high. All right. God bless you. Thank you very much. We're going to take your Bible, if you will. We're going to be looking there in the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, as we look in chapter number 26, Proverbs in chapter 26, and all that business there. There may be somebody here this morning say, Preacher, I've got a testimony I just want to give and thank the Lord. Let's take time to do that. And we don't do that every Sunday, but maybe you'd like to. Man, woman, boy, girl, I got saved. Thank God for saving me. What do we got? Who we got? Well, here's one right here. There you go. Amen. All right.
I just want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. I hadn't been the same since the day you done it.
Amen.
And thank you for this church I had to come to worship and praise God with, my good church family. And I just want to say thank you.
Amen. All right. Amen. Good job all the way around. It's always good every now and again to be able to testify for the Lord. Sometimes it catches us off guard, but you ought to be ready to testify for the Lord. Any of you ladies want to testify at all? Anybody? Anybody? You don't have to. I'm just, yeah.
I thank the Lord for letting me be born into this church and growing up and for saving my soul.
Amen. Amen. That's a good deal. Hey, if you need to buy some good bakery items and stuff like that, there's a gal to see. She's great at that. All right, take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Proverbs in chapter 26. You find the place you're able to stand. We'll look in verse number 1. As snow in summer and as rain in the harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. The bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's bang. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sent a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off his feet, drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, and so is a parable in the mouth of fools. And as he that bindeth a stone in the sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We ask you, Lord, that you'd bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. How we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Save the lost, we pray thee, and lift up the downhearted and set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I'm going to preach a little while on if it's out of place, it'll be a disgrace. Make no mistake about it, whenever you begin to look into it, the Bible teaches in this one chapter here that we're looking at, there are some things that are in season and there's some things that are out of season. In fact, as you'll find out, is that in harvest time, if you get a big torrential rain, that's not going to be good. In fact, it's a manifestation that God is not pleased with a country whenever it's harvest time. Instead, they get a big rain. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, you're going to find out there are some things that are in season that are out of season. And when they're out of season, they're out of place. This Bible said here, you'll find that things become perverted. They become backward and this and that. I want to say to you that, if you will, God's in charge of the waterworks of heaven. Do you realize it, though, that sometimes we're busy in a drought. We're praying, oh, man, we sure do need some bigger sprinklers and we sure do need some bigger this or that. What we need is to be able to get a hold of God and God get a hold of us. And because he's the one that turns the waterworks of heaven on, and he's the one that turns the waterworks of heaven off. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out that we've learned that because of the fact that God is in charge of watering this old earth or either drying it up. So the Bible said things become perverted, things become backward. And as a result of that, you'll find I'm trying to show you a lesson, and that is that honor is not seemly for a fool. You know, in the day we live in, you'll find out there we live in a world, you know, that's not fitting, and we live in a world that's unnatural. We live in a world that somehow or another is going the wrong direction. You know, man's born, and he's headed toward hell. I don't care where you are, what your last name is, and what part of the country that you're from. Man is born with his back toward God and his face toward hell. When he gets born again, God turns around to where a man's facing God and being able to walk with God. I was thinking about in the lesson here that you're looking at, you'll find out, is that you'd better be careful when you honor those that don't honor God. Isn't it amazing in the day and hour that we're living in that you'll find people across the country, and I don't want to get into a sermon tonight, but you'll find people across the country, and their lost loved ones, they don't like it while they're preaching to them or giving them the gospel. But just as soon as they fall out with the Church of the Living God, then all of a sudden now they're going to get on a different horse and ride a different hobby horse. I got to tell you, make no mistake about it, you'll find that Jesus Christ established the church, gave himself for the church. He's coming back again for the church. When somebody gets saved, he adds them to the church. In fact is, you know, in the day and hour that we're living in, let me tell you something right now. I want you to hear this, is that anytime anything you got going bypasses the Church of the Living God, you just tried to bypass God. Jesus Christ loved the church, gave himself for the church, established the church. When God saves somebody, he adds them to the church. And let me tell you right now, if you try to bypass the church, you know, in the day we live in, there's a whole big hundreds of thousands of millions of people that like this religious wave that's going across the country, and they think somehow or another they're going to impress God by bypassing the church. I can tell you one that had a bunch of followers one time. And in fact, as you'll find, he preached one sermon, and he had 5,000 followers, and they all forsook him and fled except for one. And yet you'll find out, he said, "Will ye also go away?" And they said, "Lord, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Now, I want to tell you something right now, is that when you begin to look into the Bible, the size of and the miracle of great numbers, if you say, if you please, is not going to make one iota unto God. God's more interested in right and righteousness than he is a big number. I mean, he just is. Now, you know, we always like that and all that business there. I heard a man this last week, and he was saying, "I'm not trying to get people to know about heaven. I'm just trying to carry as many people as I can to heaven with me." Well, I got news for you. That's too much pressure for me. And the reason being is because I can't carry people to heaven. I can tell you about the way to miss hell and make heaven, and it's in a person, and his name's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the day he came knocking on your heart's door and showed you yourself like he sees you, that's whenever he grants unto you repentance and gives you faith and draws you by his Spirit into the family of God. In this lesson here, the Bible said there's two things that it looked like they contradict one another. Verse number 4, verse number 5, we just read it, Proverbs 26. He said, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him." In other words, here's a fool. What he's speaking is not the word of the Lord. What he's speaking is of his own volition, own ideology. And God said, don't answer that guy. Don't answer the fool according to his folly, lest I be like unto him. All right, then the next passage says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now, what does that do? Well, how do you reconcile that? I'll tell you how you do it. You don't want to answer a fool with the same kind of mentality that he's got. He's got an argument for argument's sake that satisfies him in his mind. But when you answer a fool, when God said don't answer him like he's got it, he has no Bible to back up what he says. But when you answer, you'd better have a Bible verse, a chapter, book, and a verse to be able to answer him, so he's not such a smart aleck, or she's not such a smart aleck, and answers to be able to pad their own conceit. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, you'll find so honor, the Bible said, is not seemly for a fool. You know, whenever somebody tells you, here's the way that I believe, all right, get ready to turn them off. You know the reason why? The key word is, this is what I believe. How about telling me what God said? How about just believing what God said? The only way you're going to prove that is by chapter, book, and verse from the Bible. You know, if somebody's beginning to talk, whether they're teaching, whether they're preaching, whether they're witnessing, whatever that it is, if what they've got's according to the word of the Lord, there'll be a chapter and a book and a verse that'll be given with it. And boy, let me tell you right now, whether you can agree with God or not, you better agree with him. Let me tell you right now, he's never made a mistake in his life. He's never made an error in his life. In the day and hour that we're living in, there's a lot of people that are trying, I don't know, they've got a bunch of stump religion verses, sort of like, you know, well, don't the Bible say that every tub will set on its own bottom? No, it don't say that at all. In fact is, what he does say, that you better be careful where you set your bottom. You better not be sitting in the congregation of fools. You better not be sitting in the congregation of those that deny God, that defy God. You see what I'm talking about? See how easy that it is? What if somebody comes up to you and says, oh, I say, y'all go to that Baptist church, do you believe in that once saved, always saved? You know what to tell them? No. I believe in once lost, always lost till you get saved. What? And they don't know. They don't know what to answer you. They don't know how to answer you. And the reason why they don't is because what they have spit out there as though this is what they believe, they heard it somewhere else of somebody that knew less Bible than them. You know, in this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find that over there in Proverbs, the Bible said, that we've just got through reading about, is that the fool hath said in his heart. Over in Psalm, where is it? Chapter 14, also Psalm chapter number 53. The Bible said, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, if you're here this morning, you're not saved, why aren't you? You don't believe God? You don't believe God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? I can remember at the age of 24, I was a religious young man, lost and undone without God. I can remember when God disturbed me every time I'd go to the house of God, and I went on a regular basis because I was brought up to do that. And every time I went, God would knock upon my heart's door. And I want to tell you, one day he made me realize, no, it ain't my sister, it ain't my brother, it was me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I want to say to you that, if you will, when I got saved, before I got saved, I knew how to lead sing a little bit, teach Sunday school class a little bit. I knew how it was to be able to use Romans 10, 9 through 13 a little bit, be able to talk to people about their soul's condition and so forth and on. And yet I was lost and undone, without hope and without God, until he came knocking on my heart's door and showed me myself like he saw me. I want to tell you, when God granted me repentance and God gave me faith, he was able to turn me around for his glory and for his honor and all that been his heir. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, the Bible said that the fool in his heart says there is no God, thinks there is no reckoning day, but there is. Over in the book of Psalm, chapter number 10, about verse number 4, the Bible talked about that fool and said, God is not in all of his thoughts. I want to ask you a question. This week's already come and gone, and now today's starting a new week, and this is what a better way to start out than being in the house of God and listening to the word of the Lord. But the Bible said that what happens is that the fool, God is not in all of his thoughts. Do you meet people every day of your life? Since the day I got saved, God's been in my mind every day. Sometimes I'm griping at about the way things are going. Now, he'll always be right. It won't matter what you think. It's not going to change. The wrath of man does not change the mind or the message of God. But there's times, you know, every day of my life, since the day I got saved, He's living in my heart. How in the world could he not be on my mind? But maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, you know, I go days at a time, never think about God. You won't do like that when you get born again. See, one of them is what religion does. The other one is what righteousness is. And let me tell you right now is that every day of my life, I know where he found me, I know where he brought me from, and where I could have been and would have been and should have been had it not been for the grace of God. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that honor is not seemly for a fool. I'm glad to know that it's not that way for a child of God. I want to tell you, you better be careful when you're honoring people in the world that are religious but lost and undone. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it. In this lesson, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. In the book of Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, they've got an argument for what they think is going to be all right, but they don't like it whenever you bring a chapter and a book and a verse that proves them wrong in what they're believing. I want to tell you, the Bible says over in Proverbs 14:9 that fools make a mock at sin. That's the reason why if you warn somebody about their soul's condition and that at any moment in time that God could call them to give an account of themselves, that they could be called, that's the reason why they'll chuckle whenever they're not interested in what God had to say. They think it's going to be funny. It won't be so funny when they're having to stand before the Lord. Make no mistake about that right there. The Bible says the fool mocks at sin. You know the reason being, don't you? Well, in verse number 4 of the text, whenever he said, answer not a fool according to his folly, he don't want you just giving your opinion. He wants you to give a chapter and a book and a verse, and that's why God said, go ahead and answer a fool, but not according to his folly, according to the word of the Lord. That's what he's talking about. That's not a contradiction. It's just an explanation that God gives us. In the lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that the Bible said in Proverbs in chapter 13 about verse number 20, he warns about those that are companions of fools. You know, when I got saved, there's a whole bunch of people. I used to work in an automotive and I was a mechanic. I used to work, you started out and I was welding and a welder. And I'm not talking about a tacker, but I started out welding. Now, I'm not as good as old Brother Nathan or some of you other folks that weld and do stuff. But let me tell you right now is that I remember whenever I was working with a bunch, I'm talking about a God-cussing heathens, friend. In the automotive industry, I worked with an old boy one time. I never forget, it was over there at the Ford House in Crockett, Texas. And, of course, you know, we were just staying above being starving to death. But anyhow, we worked over there mechanicing in this. There's an old boy came in one day, and he had a vehicle, and he drove in there, and he said, well, I've got it back here again, and a friend of mine, I can't even remember his name, we must have been good friends, I had a friend of mine that was working on the vehicle. Anyhow, he said, well, let me look at it again. So, you know, he put it up there on that lift and got to looking at it and so forth and on. Couldn't find nothing. Drove it around the block, couldn't find nothing. So he sent it back out to the guy and all that. He drove down the road, made a block or two, came back. And when he came back, he looked at it and said, I've still got the same problem. And all that business there. And about 7-8 times of that, and the mechanic got tired of working on it. Got tired of working for us, I guess, there at that place. And he picked up a ball peen hammer and thrown it right through that guy's windshield. And he said, mister, there wasn't a thing wrong with your car when you came in here, but something's wrong with it now. It's got a busted windshield. Now, I've been there, done that. I didn't have that much boldness, and I was afraid I'd had to buy a windshield, but anyhow, so boy, it was kind of a humorous thing that if you will please. And I want to say to you that if you will please is that whenever you begin to look into the Bible, did you know that in chapter number 27 that open rebuke is better than secret love? You know, sometimes, well, preacher, you embarrass this or embarrass that. Open rebuke is better than secret love. And you know, whenever you got saved by the grace of God, he openly rebuked you somewhere and knocked on your heart's door and made you realize and know you were lost and undone without hope, without God. In this day we live in, the young people of America, What a sad shape that's in. I'm glad there's folks like you that have your loved ones and little ones in the house of God. But we live in a world that laughs at that, mocks at that, makes fun of that. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible, is that you'll find is that we live in a world that casts aside the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the things of God, and they just want to do whatever suits their own little fancy. You're either going to condemn sin with your life or you're going to commend sin with your life, one or the other. It's either condemning it or commending it, one or the other. I begin to think about in the lesson that, if you will, please, the Bible says, is that there are those that will justify the wicked and they'll condemn those that are just. We live in a world that's just like that in the day and hour that we're living in. The Bible says over in the book of Romans in chapter number 9, God makes a vessel of honor and he makes a vessel of dishonor. By the way, you're one of them. If you're a vessel of dishonor, that means you do not know the Lord. If you're a vessel of honor, it means that you've come to know him in the free pardon of sin. I want to say to you that in the house of God, both of these things exist, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21 in the Bible and the New Testament scripture. I want to say to you in closing that, if you will, there are some things that are not seemly for a fool. And you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is that he doesn't have a Bible. She doesn't have a Bible verse to tell where they're at, what they've done, where God brought them from, and where God brought them to, that he might save them by his marvelous grace. Jesus said over there one time, no man can come to the Father except the Spirit which sent me draw him. I can remember the day God knocked on my heart's door and began to draw me unto himself. I can tell you, it was a blessed time. It was a blessed day. And let me say to you that, if you will, that whenever God comes knocking on your heart's door, he's come to visit you. You ever have somebody knock on your door at your house and all that business, and you thought, oh, man, I'm not answering. That's probably a bill collector. No, that you're not having trouble with that. But you're thinking, hey, somebody's at the door. Yeah, maybe they'll go away, leave it alone. And it isn't long until they do go away. I got to tell you, you'd better not, when God comes knocking on your heart, you'd better not ignore him. You'd better not want him to leave and to go away and leave you like he found you. When God comes knocking on your heart's door, he's chosen you. It's time for you to respond and to choose him. I wonder this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to save your soul? Have you trusted him to be the Lord and Savior of your life? Then if not, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Let's bow our heads, stand to our feet. Our musicians are coming. Our song director's coming. And maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you'd say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. I've never thought of the Lord in baptism. This would be a good time. Present yourself for it. Whatever your need is, God is able to meet it. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. I pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free, and we'll praise you in advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen.